Hi, this is Cass. Welcome to the Curio Podcast, where two old friends hash out current events, politics, and whatever strikes our fancy. Visit us on Twitter at Podcast Curio. Join our Facebook page. Check out our website, curiopodcast.org. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening. Turn up the stereo for this off-the-wall groove. Our galaxy is far out, a gas, a bunch of jam bakers. So take a short trip to Rio, leave your cave, can your lips, dig this, and be an angel. Welcome to the Curio Hootenanny. Yes! Hey, guys!
Hey!
Hi, Kim.
Hey, Cass. What's up?
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Oh, we've got a new voice here.
Oh, Polly.
That's me.
What do they call a boyfriend, the beatniks?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't polish up on my beat speak.
A hep cat?
No, that's just a general term.
General term.
This is Kim's husband, but that doesn't sound very beat.
Old man.
Oh, yeah, your old man.
It's my old man, Paul.
It's my old lady, Kim, over there.
Oh, I think they love each other.
And they're old.
So what are we going to talk about tonight?
It's open mic night on the Curio.
Woohoo!
Yes, we're going to read some poems.
Yeah.
We're going to have some music.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fun. And Lawrence Ferlinghetti died last week.
Yeah.
He was the owner of City Lights Books in San Francisco and published Allen Ginsberg's Howl,
mm-hmm.
which is a cornerstone of the beat poetry movement.
Yeah.
And
he was old as ass, right? He was like 90.
He was like 7,000 years old, right. I think. Yeah. 105?
He was over, I want to say he was over 100.
Yeah, 101. It doesn't matter. At that age, you're just.
Was he a junkie too, or was that just Burroughs?
No, I think that was just Burroughs. I think Ferlinghetti had to have his head on pretty straight.
Yeah.
To run a bookstore like that.
Yeah.
North
yeah.
Beach's finest.
Oh my gosh. You've been there, right?
Of course. I went there with you. For the first time.
Oh.
When Jerry died and we went to City Lights Books. The bookstore. And you were like this.
Oh,
and we were like, what is the matter with her?
It's a bookstore. There's a little plaque on the ground near City Lights. It's somewhere between City Lights and Chinatown, I think. Jack Kerouac. It's brass plate in the ground on the sidewalk.
With just his name?
Jack Kerouac.
What for? What's the reason? What's happening?
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even care. I remember I just looked down and saw it once. I was like, oh my God! Look at this! Ah!
So, Paul.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? What's happening? What's going on? Can you dig it?
I can dig it. And this is my first time ever on any podcast, much less
ever?
The Curio podcast.
Oh, I forgot. We have to give him some swag.
So I'm. I'm a learner. I'm here to learn and listen.
Yeah.
And I'm here to groove.
With your old lady.
As much as you guys will let me, with my old lady. I brought some.
With my old lady.
I brought some little fun toys.
Yes.
So, to add to some of the wordsmithing that you all have done.
Right.
Here's a fun fact for our listeners. Both Paul and Doug are percussionists.
This is true.
Yep.
And they're both from the same city.
Yep.
In the world.
Yep.
And we both played in a band for a minute.
That's right.
Longer than a
long
minute.
Time ago.
Oh, together?
Together, yeah. We played in... I had the privilege of being the second drummer Shantytown for a minute.
He was in that band for like 20 years, so that wasn't a minute.
Well, I was in it for a minute.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to... No, spit rhymes isn't the right term, because that's a modern term.
Maybe we can refashion the beat era in modern times.
All right, then we're going to spit some rhymes when we come back.
Yo!
You're hanging over the edge. Sicker than you planned. So please waste my
say your poetry and I'm gonna do something like this.
I'm gonna do some improv right now, ready?
Will that be too
happening?
Yes.
Definitely. Why did you stop? That was like the beginning of One of These Days by Pink Floyd.
That's the only like true African thing I know. I think it's called Zebala.
How Archie Bunker and I are alike. We both have a daughter living in our homes with their boyfriends.
Was that your haiku?
No, I just came up with that.
Oh my God, you're on fire!
Okay, Kim, improv.
I can't do that.
Yeah, just scream some words. We're going to play some stuff and you scream the words.
You know I can't do that.
You can.
I can't. We've talked about Kathy Ann, and Kathy Ann can't come out. She gets stuck inside my head and she can't find my mouth and she rattles around in there like some old ghost with so many words to say, but nothing comes out.
You've done it.
So I dug up my old poetry file folder from so very long ago, and I discovered that I am the same person I was 30 years ago or more.
That can't be true.
I think it is.
No, I've known you the whole time.
It was really interesting to read all of those old poems.
I have told you, though, that when I met you, what fascinated me about you was that you seemed more culturally mature than other people. If that makes sense.
It was all that Bob Dylan.
Exactly.
It was the Bob Dylan. My mom used to read poems to me when I was little, like really little. Like I'd get a bedtime story, or she'd pull out her big giant book of poems and she'd read them to me.
That she wrote, or a book of published poems?
Published poems. Oh, okay. It was like America's Best Loved Poems or something like that.
Wow, your education started early.
It did. I still have that book somewhere, I hope. It's pretty beat up.
Beat.
Well, I remember before I knew Kim, my introduction to Kim was reading, one of them was reading poetry at the Mountain Jam.
Oh, yes.
Between acts.
Yeah.
That one time I forgot all my poems and I read my grocery list. Everybody was probably way too high to remember that. At least I hope so.
That is the most beautiful wordsmithing I can remember.
Please tell me tampons were on the list.
Oh, God. Oh, maybe. All right, here's an old one. Straight out of the file, as is. A perfect rose in silent hands, in perfect command, without any effort at all. A constant melody sung sweetly in tune by threads weaved before in the morrow's constant loom. Brocade of roses, sweet shiny threads of time, lift my heart and cool my ears, makes the space between benign. A perfect rose from perfect hands, so quiet, kind, and true, I'll set within the constant of morrow's rosy loom.
How do you do that?
I don't even know what this is about.
You were probably really high.
Probably. I found one that was I think I sent it to you and Beck.
The one that Beck said something about, I'm not a...
I found a picture that I had drawn in part of a poem, and in the right-hand upper corner was a Becky quote. Becky's known for her one-liners, which... Yep. Are
They're
fascinating.
Brilliant and to the point.
And she said, I am a mismatched knick-knack. Which sounds really pretty, like all the words together sound pretty. But then you think about it, like knick-knacks are mismatched by nature, typically. But to be a mismatched knick-knack. Is a level beyond. You know what I mean?
Brilliant.
It's like Spinal Tap. It goes to 11.
Yes.
That one goes straight to 11 as far as a value statement goes.
Becky was always the one in our group that would say the thing that just got right to the point.
Right.
Whether it be something you shouldn't be wearing or... guy you shouldn't be dating or whatever it is. Like, she always had the perfect one-liner to set you straight.
Yep.
That's still true today, but it was more crucial to our teen and early 20 years.
To your survival.
Yeah.
On the scene.
Yep. Yeah. She was kind of an anchor.
With all those predatory Arcadians around.
Which... Arcadians.
With their full names. Special lingo.
All right, so today is actually the 24th anniversary of our Doug and mine and Doug.
Is it your anniversary?
It's our dating anniversary, which we actually like more than our wedding anniversary.
Oh.
So I wrote my haiku is dedicated to him. Dedicated to my love of 24 years. Are you ready, Paul? This is a haiku.
What do you need?
He likes to watch it. Post work on the couch with beer. His jam, Storage Wars, Texas.
Woo!
That's dedicated to Doug Miller and his favorite show and his favorite drink and his favorite place.
Oh, with his favorite lady.
Ready? Jam!
Woo! Us. Pick up an instrument.
I am. I'm jamming right now.
With your vibe.
Yeah.
Your cool vibe. See? Here's the cool guy.
I'm wallflowering.
There's room for that in the galaxy of beat.
In the galaxy of cool. What were we talking about cool? You know, like, because if you're trying to be cool.
You're not cool.
You're not cool.
So I was thinking about this stupid hat. This is an Oktoberfest hat.
That goes with his
Oktoberfest.
Lederhosen.
It does. It goes with my Lederhosen, celebrating my German heritage.
So what you're saying then, if I can glean from your the things that are coming out of your mouth, is that because you're not trying so hard to look cool,
I am freaking cool.
Right. Okay.
Although I'm nervous as shit. I don't know why I'm nervous.
I could just put these glasses on.
But
that's but not cool.
The point was, like, you know, if I was a guy in North Beach in San Francisco and I was sort of bucking the 1950s, you know, materialism, keeping up with the Joneses.
Being a square.
Being a freaking square, yeah.
We both made a square with our fingers.
Yeah, because that's what they would have done on, like, on the Flintstones or something.
Right. Or Dobie Gillis.
And like, so you would grab what you could to be who you were, you know? Because you couldn't, you're not chasing the cars and the, I don't know. I mean, I was just thinking about if you were, like, kicking around San Francisco in the 50s when it was on, you know?
Right.
Before beat was a thing. It was just
It would be like, the equivalent for me would be like, you know, we dressed weird before there was Hot Topic, and now kids can just go to Hot Topic
and dress weird.
We had to find things in thrift stores and closets and make things.
They didn't have to try.
They don't have to try now. They just go to Hot Topic and buy that look they see. Is Hot Topic still a thing? I don't know. I haven't been to the mall in a while.
I don't know. Me neither.
Do you have something to read for us?
Well, I was gonna... Paul was talking about cool... And there's a collection of beatnik songs and readings and stuff and, like, excerpts from radio shows talking about the beatniks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one where they're talking about being cool.
Oh.
And I might be able to play some of it. Let's see.
Who is there?
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
Yeah, why don't you have some thoughts on that? It's uncool to claim you used to room with Bird or that you have Bird's axe. And, you know, it's even less cool to ask, who is Bird? It's uncool to nod on the street corner waiting for the light to change. And it's uncool to let anybody know your uncle is a registered pharmacist. Uncool for the whole family. You know, it's uncool to buddy with a known fink. And it's uncool to ask where'd you get it. It's disastrously uncool to let friends use your pad as a forwarding address for packages from Mexico. You know, and it's uncool to ask where'd you get it. And it is uncool to wear shades after sunset, you know, unless you should be wearing shades after sunset. You know, in which case it is uncool to take them off.
Who was that? That guy was cool. Woo! Wow.
That guy was cool.
Oh, no, man. There were rules back then. That's the funny thing. Is like, so we are going to be totally counterculture. But we have got some rules,
right,
about how to be cool.
It's kind of
and
like
what's uncool.
Wow, this leads me into, like, virtue signaling, like groups of people and the things that they believe and the way that they let other people know that they believe them.
Okay.
You know, like
Trump flags.
Yeah.
Big trucks.
Did you say virtue?
Virtues? Yeah, like, you know, I'm a good person, but you've got to, like, show people that you're a good person, or I don't know, like.
Like humble bragging, almost?
Just like the way that groups form and then the membership required, the rules, like where do the rules come up? Why?
Right. So, like, in high school, it would be, like, in our era, it would have been, I'm with the cheerleaders, which there's obviously uniform for that and a set of behaviors and looks and all that. Or I'm a mod. Or I'm a, I don't
weirdo.
Know.
We were just weirdos.
We were fringe dwellers.
Although
for sure.
Kim dabbled with Hesher hair.
Well, oh, yeah. It was the 80s.
Wow.
He had big hair.
So
big hair happened.
I wonder. I'm going to read you the Urban Dictionary for what a Hesher is.
Ooh.
Because that's cool.
Hesher can be generally described as a grungy, long-haired person with a still-stuck-in-the-80s image, usually seen wearing leather motorcycle or denim jacket, full of band patches, torn acid-washed jeans, and an 80s rock t-shirt. Likes to listen to some heavy metal tunes while riding an old-school van. Characterized by an outlaw attitude, probably drinks alcohol and smokes weed, similar in appearance to a thrasher.
So how do kids these days find their tribe? Is it the same way?
You're getting into the it's QAnon.
Lunacy.
So, do you want to read Abby's poem or should I? I have it pulled up.
Why don't you read it since you have it pulled up? This is, should we?
Go ahead.
It's been a rough week, guys. Our friend Beck, who's been on the show a few times, her mom, and she's talked about her mom a lot, Donna.
We've talked about her mom a lot.
And we have, too. Donna passed away, and she left us. She moved on. And so there was some unpacking there for all of us, a lot of big feels. And Abby, who's also been on the show, wrote a poem about her grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And Cassie is going to read it now.
I am young and fresh to the world. The lazily falling sun shines through the leaves of the orange tree and illuminates the ripe, round fruit into little suns. My poppy watches me run around the jacuzzi, chased by my little blonde cousin, as we feel ants crawl up our ankles. Mark! Nana calls. Coming, he replies. And within a few minutes, we are being ushered in for dinner. Sitting on her lap in the warm glow of the lamp on that strange glass table, her laughter is bolstered by calm, smooth tones of wood tapping against metal, spurred on by the breeze, the sound of my grandmother, the wind chimes are ringing. I think I'm older, but I'm still just as young. The TV nestles me into the den. As I avoid my homework and deal with anger brought on by being 13, I snap at her, and the wind stills. She contacts my mother. I ignore her texts. I sit in anger as she waits in her plush throne until that familiar clinking brings my consciousness forwards. We are one and the same, stubborn and sensitive. I creep out into the living room and onto her lap, momentarily allowing myself not to feel too old to do so. She tells me she loves me, and we apologize, and we laugh. The sound of my Nana, the wind chimes are ringing. A concert approaches. I sing obnoxiously in her office to practice. I sing every day that I am at her house, theorizing about music and bands. I go home and laugh when she talks my mom's ears off about nothing on the phone. I tell my friends about her at rehearsal. She got in trouble as a nun. She could sing like a spitfire of an angel, and she was the reason I could as well. She brings me flowers, Poppy by her side, and tells me how proud she is of me, how she loved hearing me sing. As I fall into the especially satisfying sleep of after-performance fatigue, I hear the crowd's final applause again, but through it, I hear her, the sound of my grandmother. The wind chimes were ringing. The voice is strange. The house is strange. Her voice no longer commands a room. Her feet no longer meander through the hall looking for a grandchild to check in on. Her children hold her this time, giving back all of the love she showed them. Poppy looks after her as usual. Everything is about to change. We will not hear her voice or feel her embrace or be annoyed at her lengthy phone calls. As I sit outside and wait for the inevitable, I notice it. The garden is just as beautiful, peaceful, cared for. The wind blows through the hanging metal beams and she speaks through them. They will always be there. The sound of my Nana, the wind chimes, are still ringing. Thank you, Abby, for letting us read that. It was amazing. I could see the whole thing. I mean, Kim and I spent a lot of time in that house, too. The den.
Oh, yeah. The wind chimes.
The wind chimes. She had so many wind chimes everywhere.
The big ones on the back.
Their house was the first house I ever went to for a drum circle.
Yeah.
Remember the drum circles there?
Yeah.
I remember those.
All right, drum circle for Donna.
Woo! A body worker, and when she was learning the Rolfing techniques, her class needed bodies to work on. And there were, I don't know, 12 of us or something like that. 12 students, 12 models. And so for 10 weeks, every week, I would go out to the other valley and be a model for this class.
The worst valley?
Yeah.
The lesser.
The lesser of the valleys?
The lesser of the valleys. It thinks it's the greater of the valleys, but hello, we've just learned that the greater you think you are, the less you really are. Anyway, so everybody would be in this big giant room with all these massage tables set up, and then all the models got naked. I mean, naked.
For Rolfing?
100% naked.
That's illegal now, by the way. P.S. Because I went through massage school and did all my training and MFR.
This was back in the 90s, right? Was it the 90s?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, and I think the idea was is that you were supposed to see, like, muscles moving and, you know, like, how the body was reacting to whatever they were doing. And it was a really cool experience. I learned a lot. Like, my thighs, I carry a lot of something in my thighs. Because I would always laugh, like, hysterically when she worked on my thighs. It was just my spot.
So were you Donna's model, or you just switch around different people every week?
No, we had the same, student, and I can't remember her name. She was really nice. But there was another, was she a student? I think she was also a model, and she had lots of piercings, and her husband was there, and he had lots of piercings too, in places that would be very painful, I would imagine. And I think that that's what the point was, the pain. So, yeah. Yeah.
What about the part where she takes you into the bathroom to show you something?
So they're at the end, you know.
She's leaving out the punchline.
At the end, there was a party. And everybody came and everybody had their clothes on and we were hanging out and everything. And she was like, hey, come here. I want to show you something. And I was like, huh? And I was probably, you know, a couple beers into it and maybe a joint or two. And I'm like, okay, let's go see. What do you got? She takes me to the bathroom and shows me her hardware, pulls down her pants and like, look at this. And I'm like, I gotta go. Later.
This was at Donna's house, though, right?
No, this was at some out in the other valley.
I always pictured it at their house.
No.
Do you have any more poetry to read, Kimmy?
Oh, yeah, I got plenty.
You got to read the one. What was the one you were reading last night? I can't remember the theme of it, but it was awesome.
Which one? Oh, was it the one about the rope? Oh, did I forget that one?
The one about the rope, and there was another one, too, but the rope one's good, too.
Uh-oh.
Your book is falling apart.
Oh, no, I've got the... Well, because it's cheap.
Oh, my God, Kim.
You should see all of my journal, loose leaf poem, poetry file things. It's a mess. Okay, I have three poems to read. Should I just peel them off?
Yeah.
I wrote one for Donna also, kind of. This one came fast and weird. They usually do. But so Cassie made these really cool vessels. The vessels with the ladders. And do you want to...
Oh, my cave-dwelling vessels.
Your cave-dwelling vessels. I took pictures of them because they're outside and I'll post them. And when I saw them finished with the ladders, I was really affected by them. And they seemed womb-like to me. Like, mm-hmm. There was a very feminine aspect to them. And very natural and primal. And so I saw them and then I just started to write, and I wrote the title first, and then the words came, and then not long after that I got the news about Donna. Mm-hmm. And then it continued, and there were a couple revisions, but other than that, this is how it pooped out, y'all.
Poop it.
I'm gonna poop it out. This one's called Sniff. Sweet Potato Time Bomb. I know, right? Who'd have thunk? Silent in the winter, waiting in sawdust, eider of the earth. Dark, sleeping peace, resting with angelic patience, with chilly new moons and crooning lullabies, waiting, waiting. Then delicate rays of tiny solar flares bustling and bursting in the star-dusty air, reflecting homeless moments floating in time and perfectly unaware. Emboldened shafts unfurling beaming waves, overtaking sleepy eyes. The sleeping eyes flutter awake with wonder. Then springs of glistening teardrops feed the newfound sprigs, all wick and green, a changeling changing, released and free. From nowhere and everywhere, ascending, descending, roaming in untethered memories. Then gentle barefoot falls grace the vessel's edge, deep within a quiet beckoning, ancient songs reflecting and whispers sweetly echoing, home. You are home now. You are in nature's own true love. You are nature's own true love. You are home. The end.
Ooh, this one stanza, it was so smithed. The words were so smithed, Paul.
She's a smithy.
Springs of glistening teardrops feed the newfound sprigs, all wick and green, a changeling changing? You've got power in that brain of yours!
With all my messy papers. Okay.
Smith us some more words, Smithy.
Let's see.
Smithy, smith us some more words, then, won't you?
I've got some more, don't you know?
I've got vowels, I've got consonants.
I've pooped this one out long time ago.
Look, if you're going to be a professional poet, you have to stop saying that you pooped them out.
Why?
Because I said so.
But that's how it happens. It's well, I'm not, like, sitting on the toilet writing, really. I'm a girl. I don't poop.
Yes, she does.
This one. Oh, no. You're not invited back, Paul. That's enough. Okay.
She poops.
Nope.
Just got really real in here.
Okay.
That's my poetic offering.
Thanks.
Yes, she does.
Okay. Here we go. This one doesn't have a title. It's old. I speak in tongues to a million gods, pleading for a sanctuary of thought. Oh, this is more of a haiku. Sorry, I interrupted myself.
You have to let Paul give you an intro then if it's a haiku.
Okay, so this is a short one.
He's got haiku paraphernalia.
What happened to my?
What are you looking for?
These ones?
Yeah. Oh, they're right here. Okay.
I speak in tongues to a million gods, pleading for a sanctuary of thought, but they do not hear me.
Here's your chance again.
You guys are fired. Do it again.
I think it. Okay, do it again. Take two.
Do you want accompaniment underneath you?
I'm going to point at you when you're supposed to go. This isn't a proper haiku either.
Okay. It's haiku-ish.
Okay, everyone. I speak in tongues to a million gods, pleading for a sanctuary of thought. But they do not hear me. They speak not with tongues.
What was that one about?
Probably looking for some kind of help and not knowing how to get it and then realizing that I was looking in the wrong place.
Wow, how old do you think that one is?
Early 90s.
Riddle me this, cat man.
Did you call me cat man?
Yeah. Riddle me this, cat man.
Do?
How do you think the beats would have reacted to this pandemic and the subsequent shutdown?
Oh my God, I've thought about that so many times. Right after it happened, I I desperately wanted commentary from Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
For the past 4 years, I've been talking to him. I'm like, dude, will you freaking do something and tell us what you think? And he's just like, bitch, I'm dead. Pretty much what he says when I ask him. But I don't know. What do you think?
Wait, Hunter S. Thompson talks to you?
They all do. I talk to them. Paul, you've heard me. You think I'm talking to the dogs, but I'm really talking to the others.
Hunter S. from the crypt. No, I was imagining the other day that I couldn't decide whether they would be like the anti-vaxxers of today. Like, we're just going to go out, free love, make out with people we don't know on a bus. Fuck your pandemic. But I don't know.
Well, you think about them, you know, Kerouac and Bukowski, and they would have been reckless about it.
Yeah.
But the pandemic, oh gosh, I don't know. Yeah, maybe they would have been. Maybe they just would have been, fuck you guys. I'm going to go into town, go to the restaurant. I'm going to breathe on you motherfuckers.
Drink whiskey out of a bottle that I share with 10 other people.
I'm going to sit in the park and cough on people that walk by.
And yell at them, just scream poetry at people. I mean, they were all about nonconformity, so like wearing a mask is pretty conformity.
Right.
Paul, what do you think?
I think it's pretty hard to remove them from
their time,
the historical context.
Yeah,
because you think about, you know, post-World War America, and, you know, they were closer to the prior pandemic than they were to this pandemic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you think about, like, the way World War One and the prior pandemic kind of paved the way for the Roaring Twenties, and then
the Depression.
And then World War Two, and
that would have been in their cultural memory at the time.
And all of those things in particular fueled their cultural movement. You know?
Yeah.
Fascism, the Depression, hobos,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of that
mm-hmm.
came to fruition artistically during the Beat era. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I think. So, yeah, God, who knows? So who are the Beats now?
That's what I was just thinking.
Well, you said nonconformists. You know, who mm-hmm. are the nonconformists? They're the anti-maskers and the anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, right now in this situation, that's who's not conforming.
Yeah.
People who don't believe in science.
But they're not... But to be a nonconformist...
You're thinking of it through the paradigm of, like, art, culture.
I think there are two ways of going with it. You can be... Oh, I'm going to have to chew on this for a little bit. But
I got her.
There's nonconformity for being just to be a nonconformist. And then there's nonconformity for a purpose, I think. Also, who the fuck knows right now? Social media and the whole globalization scene has totally upended everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, I think in the artistic realm, I've always said, if you're truly seeking the truth, then you need to go hang out with the artists. You need to look at the artists, because that's their interest always, is the truth, the truth, the truth. The ugly truth, the hard truth, the beautiful truth, the hard to describe truth. That's where they gravitate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Van Gogh, whether it's Banksy, you know.
Banksy?
Banksy.
Banksy.
He's like...
Not like Banksy?
Banksy. Whatever.
I thought you were referencing some way obscure, like, poet from the 16th century
no,
or something.
Just the street artist.
So is it unfair of us to put this much pressure on the memories of the Beats? Like, what would they have done? What would they have said? They did this. They did that. Like, I feel like they're like a version of the forefathers of this country or something. The way we wonder what they would have thought at the time.
I don't know. They probably would have said, figure the fuck out.
Yeah, fuck you guys. That's not cool.
And they didn't have TikTok. I mean, what would they have done with TikTok?
Could you imagine? Jack Kerouac on the tickety-tock.
I could imagine Andy Warhol on the TikTok.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of art on TikTok. I mean, there's some funny, funny.
You can say the S word.
Funny yeah. shit. There's
this
some
doesn't go out
funny
over airwaves.
Social commentary. That guy.
Wait, do you have the TikTok?
Paul's got the
I
TikTok.
Have the TikTok, but I'm just people who are way cooler than I am. Are,
oh,
are
I don't even have
me,
TikTok.
Sending me stuff like links to things on TikTok.
Hello,
Grateful Dead Jim.
Woo! Oh. We need a meme.
See that? It was not fade away.
Did you see that?
Did you see that? Did you hear it? I saw it. Badass traitor.
What was the last thing you said? Badass traitor.
I love that you got my cues, my three words. It was a cue.
Right.
You hey, got it.
Well, yeah. I know you.
Words.
Oh wait,
you have more poetry.
Words. Okay, here we go. I'll just read this one. Paul liked this one.
That was really nice, honey.
Hey, thanks.
We should hey, all thanks. Get together poetry. And make music again.
Hoot nanny?
For fun. A hoot nanny.
A hoot nanny?
Hoot nanny! Stick!
You get
it. All right. Polly liked this one.
Do you want to use that? You could sound like the guy from The Strokes.
Yeah.
No. It's COVID. Scary.
Too much COVID.
There's too much COVID in there.
There's scary.
They're speaking to the trumpet.
This one's called Sometimes. Sometimes the cat will take a bath, sometimes vertical lays down. Once in a while, without much style, the parrots don't make a sound. Sometimes it rains on summer dead grass. Sometimes the future smells like the past. Now and again, the sad man grins, and the deaf have ears to lend. The swallows will fly upside down. The winter fields will bloom. The sun will run into the sea and give heaven to the moon. Sometimes I think about the past. Sometimes the future comes too soon. Sometimes I hope for a length of rope to bind the space I'm in. The end.
Oh, wow. That was really hep.
Dude.
Dude.
I love the swallows flying upside down.
Be here now, man. The thing about Wheel of Fortune, though, that kind of freaks me out is Vanna.
Doesn't age?
Vanna's got to be a vampire or some shit. She's like 300 years old.
She's made a deal with the devil.
And she looks like she's 22. I mean,
even the, like, the skin on her legs looks like the skin of like a 25-year-old.
Right. And you, I mean, you,
that's not normal for a woman and, her age.
Yeah.
Pantyhose?
No.
It's, I don't get it. I just
she doesn't have neck wrinkles?
No. I think she has lots
you got,
of.
You gotta get in here, Paul. You gotta assert yourself.
What are you doing? What's this?
What's this?
What's this?
Are these the shock drapes?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. They look a lot like them. And I don't know whatever happened to them.
Squirrel!
I'm sorry. That's why I had to get your attention off of Vanna for just a second. Wait.
Paul's looking at the drapes and not thinking about Vanna.
No. Okay, here's the part, Paul, where we do a final thought. I'll cut all of this out, but, like, I'm about to ask you what your final thought is.
So quick, think of a final thought. Whatever
Paul!
It is.
Final thought!
Fast.
Paradoxes and wordsmithery.
Love it. Doug, final thought.
Groovy, Dad.
Oh, yes. Kim, final thoughts.
I don't have final thoughts, remember? I just have infinite wormholes inside my brain.
Do you have any infinite wormholes right now that you'd like to inform the listeners about?
I love all these people. All of you!
My final thought is...
Remember, Curio Podcast.